flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, big issues, big guests. We have with us Mary Howen. Mary is the Chief Executive Officer of the Children's Health Defense, advisor to RFK Jr. for over a decade, live from the RFK Jr. hearing in Washington. Mary joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Mary, thank you very much for joining us today. Is the hearing over?
Yes, the hearing is over today. So there have been two hearings, yesterday the Finance Committee, today the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. And I think there'll be a vote next week.
Well, it looked pretty good yesterday. The only area that I think, and again, I don't want to say this is a small area, all the nuances of this per se. What's your response to RFK Jr., the criticism, not caring too much about Medicaid or Medicare, the nuances of all that?
Well, I mean, in truth, I do think some of the senators probably are a lot more experienced in dealing with those questions to date. But Bobby is a quick study. I have worked with him for a long time. And when he wants to get up to speed on stuff, he does quickly. So I have no doubt that he will know the ins and outs of Medicaid and Medicare and EMTALA in no time.
We were hoping from this, and I'm not sure how much we got, you know, a great debate in America on several things, a back and forth, vaccines, food supply, et cetera. What were the high points of getting to that? Talk to me about the testimony that you liked. They really got into the debate about what Americans want here and whether this is the guy to deliver that.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. I think the American public is really hungry for a serious grown-up debate about food and about all the environmental factors that are causing us to be as sick as we've ever been, despite spending more than we ever have, and why we have shorter lifespans than other developed countries. I think the country wants to have that conversation. That's part of the reason they voted for Donald Trump, who at the end was in alliance with Robert Kennedy. I don't think we got that debate today. I think it was, sadly, a very truncated kind of conversation. I felt, sadly, that many of the senators were really grandstanding. They weren't really asking questions to have a dialogue and to better understand Robert Kennedy's position. In fact, many of them kept insisting, yes or no answer, yes or no answer, as if one could answer all these questions with a simple yes or no. These are complicated issues. So it was frustrating from that perspective. But if he is confirmed, I am very confident that he will have for the public really robust dialogues about these critical issues, about additives in foods, about fertilizers, about pesticides, and about vaccines, and about Medicaid and Medicare, and how should they be reformed. I think he is in favor of radical transparency, and that he believes is needed to restore trust in our public health agencies, and I agree.
Mary, Rand Paul, I'll play this in a second, but I wanted to ask you a question. I'm all on board with RFK Jr. on the food issue. The farm thing, I have to see exactly where that lands about the raising. You mentioned it. I think it may not be as radical. But the vaccine thing, coming off COVID, I understand where people are, some of the downsides of this. In a nutshell, if you can, and if you can't, you know, long talk it a little bit here. It's a hard question. What is his position on vaccine? Is it just we need to study? Do we really need to study the polio vaccine more? How much more efficacy do we need to see? What am I missing about the polio vaccine? Is that just made up?
Well, there wasn't much discussion of that today. I think he believes there needs to be greater transparency around the science of vaccines. And one of the things that is under HHS is something called the Vaccine Safety Data Link. And this did come up today. There's also something called VSafe. And the data in those systems is robust. There's millions of de-identified records there, and they're not open to all scientists. Bobby wants to make the records around vaccines open to all scientists so we can actually do really unbiased science. Remember that all the science that goes to the FDA for review or the CDC is done by pharma. It's not done by the agencies independently. The agencies don't really, you know, they look at the science, but they don't do it themselves. They don't see the stuff that went into the drawer. Remember that since 1980, with Congress's passing the Bayh-Dole Act, scientists at NIH can get lifetime heritable royalties for their work on pharmaceutical products. So I think Bobby thinks that there are very serious conflicts of interest throughout the health bureaucracy under HHS. And I think job one is transparency. Job two is ensure that there aren't conflicts of interest that are putting their fingers on the scale so that we don't really know what the real science says.
Is there support on the Democrat side for that? They would be the party in the past. He made that broad statement, which is true. In the past,
yeah,
he was their right guy. Now not. Who would right not want to root out conflict of interest around something right this serious, particularly right post-COVID, what we've seen play
right
out here?
Right. Well, it was, you know, although the Democratic senators said that they wanted to get rid of corruption and, you know, they were pro-science, they were certainly very, really hostile towards him and didn't allow him to answer questions very effectively.
I want to play for you, Mary, Rand Paul, who my producer by Dan pulled here, maybe offering the best defense around this vaccine question. Dan, Mary, was Rand on the committee, today's committee?
Yes, he was.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, because you had two committees.
Yeah, and he spoke very eloquently, actually. So he's a physician. There were three
right
physicians on the committee, Dr. Cassidy, Dr. Marshall, and Dr. Paul. And Dr. Paul gave a nice foil to Dr. Cassidy around one issue that was brought up
okay
in terms of vaccines.
Here's a little bit of Rand Paul, then we'll get your reaction.
Sure. But for goodness sakes, let's have an honest debate about these things. The COVID vaccine. If you ask me my opinion, the reporters run up and down the hall and they say, you still anti-vaccine? No, I'm pro-vaccine. But on the COVID vaccine and on the COVID illness, there was a thousandfold or more difference between the elderly and children. If you don't acknowledge that, you're committing malpractice. You're showing your ignorance. If you say a six-month-old must be mandated to get it, the science is not there. So all this blather about the science says this and the science says that, no, it doesn't. The science actually shows that no healthy child in America died from COVID. Look it up. No healthy child died from COVID. And so the thing is that it's a thousandfold greater. So if you ask me my advice as a physician, if you were 65 or older or overweight and some other conditions, I would have said, hell yes, I'd take the COVID vaccine. The risks of the disease were real and much greater than the vaccine. But if you ask me, should my healthy six-month-old get it? See, these are the nuances you're unwilling to talk about because there's such a belief in submission. Submit to the government. Do what you're told. There is no discussion. There ought to be a debate. You're not going to let him have the debate because you're just going to criticize and say, it is this and admit to it or we're not going to appoint you. But it's more complicated than that. And this is why people distrust government, because you're unwilling to have these.
All right. There you go. I'm Mary. And I think that's all great stuff. Is Dr. Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, is he the one Republican? Were there others where you think there was pretty, you know, good debate with RFK?
Yes, there were many. So I love that clip from Rand Paul. He said that today in the hearing. Many of the Republicans were very thoughtful. Senator Marshall, Senator Mullen, Senator Tuberville, they asked questions and they wanted Senator Murkowski, Senator Collins. They asked questions and seemed to really care about what the answers were. And I don't want to say that none of the Democrats did, but many of them seemed more intent on just sort of expressing their hostility to Kennedy as a potential nominee.
Mary, on the political side of this, we're seeing these Make America Healthy Again mothers who maybe are vaguely moderate Republicans, maybe not. They seem to be a driving force, though, that actually one of them is credited with pushing Trump and RFK Jr. together in this alliance. And one of them was there today. Talk about some of the people that are supportive that are, you know, outside this just Democrat-Republican stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm the CEO of Children's Health Defense, and we actually have a streaming platform at our website, childrenshealthdefense.org. And so I interviewed people waiting online yesterday morning and this morning before the hearings. There were thousands of people waiting. Bobby does have a following around the country about making America healthy again, and particularly moms, and that came up in the hearing today. A new mom wants to have a healthy child. That's just inherent in the human condition. It's inherent in an animal condition. It's not a partisan issue. And so, yes, people are in this MAHA movement from all over the political spectrum. And I have to say, because they're really sincere that they want to have a healthy country and they want to have healthy kids, it was really discouraging to see the level, the quality of the discourse yesterday and today, because it was not grown-up speaking. It was really like sort of like an elevated food fight, to be honest with you.
In what way? Is it the areas they're getting into? Is it, or you mentioned that, well, first of all, I know it's got to be a lot on the person being interrogated and on you, the supporter sitting there. I would do much longer hearings. If I have to space them out, I got to space them out. Something like this, you can't say 5 or 8 minutes to be asking questions, because that's what you're going to get. If you have a longer right. forum to explain this and debate it, maybe more reasonable people calm down. And we actually get into a debate, as Rand Paul mentioned, that's much more nuanced.
Right. Right. Well, I agree with you. And I do think that that's possible. But that wasn't what we saw yesterday and today. But on the other hand, I do think that, you know, the Senate did get a fairly good feeling for Bobby Kennedy and what he stands for and what he's said in the past and what his views are today. And I do think they're going to be prepared to vote by next week.
Mary, parting area for you. So give us a couple of things that you as an advisor and RFK Jr. supports that would be imminent things. We hear dye in the food. We hear several food products that seem to be no-brainers. And we're also hearing not just big pharma, but more the agricultural people. Is it they're worried about cost of actually not using these, meaning shelf life and things of that nature? What's their concern or interest in this to oppose Kennedy?
That's a good question. I mean, it seems like there's just such entrenched partisanship in Washington right now. As I think one of the Republican senators said, the Democratic senators just, you know, they don't like President Trump and they don't want to support his nominee. On some people, they cross the aisle, but maybe there's, I don't know. I mean, I can't really honestly explain it, because if there's anything that's going to be bipartisan, it should be children's health and it should be the country's health. And it wasn't. It's really not a part, you know, it really is a partisan issue. But Bobby wants to do things like, you know, look at the way that we regulate food. As he often says, there's 10,000 chemicals that are in American food supply. There's 400 in Europe. We have a process where things are put in the marketplace and then you have to take them out through litigation and regulation. We don't have a precautionary principle in the same way that most European countries do. I think but his basic first step is a kind of transparency. He also talked today and yesterday about bringing new kinds of people to HHS, not people who are career doctors and scientists and bureaucrats in government who want to have this as a career, but bringing entrepreneurs, bringing people with innovation, bringing people with new ideas. I do think people got a good sense for his commitment to this issue.
Well, I think it's the most consequential other than the FBI, and those are tied in my mind. This would be legacy stuff. This would clearly be something that millions of people that are usually outside partisanship here would grab onto. They'd be excited about. And that's always a good thing. Mary, where do we find the Children's Health Defense? Where do we go?
Childrenshealthdefense.org, no apostrophe, childrenshealthdefense.org. We have a free newsletter you can sign up for, The Defender. We have streaming every day that's free at Children's CHD TV. And we put out original science, and we also do litigation around environmental exposures that affect children's health. We want to end the epidemic of chronic childhood disease, just like Robbie Kennedy.
Absolutely. Mary, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Mary Holland here on Talk Radio 1210. So we've heard from two people right inside there. When are we going to hear Dan from the big guy himself? Maybe we're moving toward that. But why would Democrats be opposed to the person that shares that? You know, that's the argument against him off from the other side. He's more liberal. Why? Because it's just partisanship. Maybe special interests that are involved with some of these people, be it drug company money or big food that's out there. The food lane is so open. People are in such agreement. I think you get 75-80% of Americans on that. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Give me your reaction to that. We're looking at the NTSB briefing on the air collision. I haven't seen anything new, and I'm waiting for the information President Trump talked about. And also, Pete Hegseth says they were wearing night vision goggles. Haven't seen that put into contacts. Would that help or make things more difficult in this? But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Morning Melody.
That is exactly right. We're playing today for a pair of tickets to see the Dirk Quinn Band's Scabby Toad, a unique musical adventure that reimagines the Beatles' Abbey Road. At the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College on January 31st. Dan?
Hey, Dom. So today we're talking about oxymorons. And
yes,
there's a famous band by the name of Led Zeppelin that, if you think about it, quite the oxymoron. Combining a very heavy metal with a floating device.
Mm-hmm.
But a great song that they do, Stairway to Heaven, was covered by a band, Dom. And follow me back now to 1972, where at a Hocus Pocus show, believe it or not, one of these family members went and met the love of her life. Then, with one of her family members, formed with the love of her life's family member, a band that went on to become a revolution in both heavy rock and folk music. So, Dom, this band then covered Led Zeppelin at the Kennedy Center Honors doing Stairway to Heaven. I want to know what the name of the cover band is today. I gave you all those clues, Dom. Take a listen.
When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed.
Oh, it's so good. If you know the voice, you know the voice.
I've heard the voice. I don't know the name. I'm getting to it, though.
So we want to know who that is singing there.
All right, and you're off to the Zlock for a great night. We love the Zlock Performing Arts Center. 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question, too. Give me your reaction to Mary Holland, the right-hand person there for RFK Jr., of what happened during these hearings. Little hard to say if a Democrat or two, like Fetterman, might go his way. Fetterman did not think he was good the first day, though, at least according to one interview he did. But I think this is going to be within a vote or so. And he is the most consequential. I think Kash Patel is going to make it. Tulsi Gabbard, if they vote in secrecy, will not. If they vote in public, I think so. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, Dom Giordano show. By the way, I'll save it for a moment. I just saw something from the Gabbard here where I'm thrilled that people are willing to analyze what's going on today with the Trump administration. Call it as they see it. That's all that we should be doing. All right. We're looking for who's covering this classic song. And Dan gave a ton of clues. Let's hear it one more time. right, let's go to Deborah in Maple Shade on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Debbie, who's covering that song?
Jason Bonham?
No.
Do you know who the singer is? Because yeah, Jason Bonham's playing drums in the song, but do you happen to know who the singer is?
Is Sammy Hager?
No, good try.
Sorry.
Yeah, Bonham wouldn't be covering that song, Dan.
Well, no, his son is Jason Bonham. It's John Bonham's son, and he's actually playing drums on this track, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Mike in Delaware. Mike, who's covering the song?
Hi, I'm sorry. I thought that was Hart. I thought it was the Wilson sisters voice-wise.
Yes.
You got it, brother. That's it.
Mike,
it is Hart.
Okay. All right. Yeah, great.
Yep.
I'll put you on hold, Mike.
You know it.
Enjoy the show. Dan, any more little background there?
Yeah, no, just a little background is Nancy went to a concert, a Hocus Pocus concert, met the guitarist brother of Hocus Pocus, Roger Fisher's brother, Mike Fisher, and they started a relationship, went back to Canada with him, met the rest of the band members of Hart and some from Hocus Pocus, spun off and became what we now know as the revolutionary band Hart. They're covering Led Zeppelin, which ties to our side question of oxymorons.
All right, 855-839-12. Led Zeppelin. Boy, that was a real... That was beautifully done.
A lot of turns there.
Yeah. Though. All right, a couple things. In the... now, you guys probably don't have any knowledge of... maybe you have a thimbleful. It wasn't... You know, he hasn't been relevant in the news that much in the last 5 to 8 to 10 years. In the Gabbard hearing, I don't think this is disqualified, but I differ with her on this. They're going after her because Gabbard refused 4 times to call Edward Snowden a traitor. I would call him a traitor. He's not a hero. He's a traitor. But I don't think it's disqualifying. You can have a different point of view on this with Snowden. You know, the nuance and the backstory. Dan, Edward Snowden, does that name bring an opinion out of you or no?
Yeah, well, not much. I think he was kind of treated unfairly, but at the same time, the way he went about his business was probably not the way he should have done it. You know?
And to Russia, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the point, we just heard from Mary Holland. I think it got heated. I didn't know why this Senator Hassan from New Hampshire was really agitated yesterday with Kennedy. And apparently, her son has cerebral palsy, and her argument was that RFK Jr. wants to relitigate settled science. All right, here's a little bit of it, then I'm going to make a point with this and see what you think. Go ahead.
And one of the things that was most disturbing to me about yesterday's hearing was the suggestion from some of my friends on the other side of the dais that... our intense questioning and concerns about Mr. Kennedy were driven by partisanship. I have voted for 5 of President Trump's nominees to date in the last couple of weeks. One of them, the new Secretary of Transportation, was on the scene last night at DCA. Like all of us, I take really seriously our obligation for advice and consent. And I am concerned, as Senator Mullen expressed his concern, about the need for science to help us move forward on critical, critical issues. Now, some of you are new to this committee and new to the Senate, so you may not know that I am the proud mother of a 36-year-old young man with severe cerebral palsy. And a day does not go by when I don't think about what did I do when I was pregnant with him that might have caused the hydrocephalus that has so impacted his life. So please do not suggest that anybody in this body of either political party doesn't want to know what the cause of autism is. Do you know how many friends I have with children who have autism? The problem with this witness's response on the autism cause and the relationship to vaccines is because he's relitigating and churning settled science so we can't go forward.
All right, Dan, let's cut it right there. Now, this idea, and this is an adult thing, as we talked, I wish I had this, I would have asked Mary Holland. In other words, I'm in a camp that says this term of relitigating is fascinating. What is settled science here? And you can see some people who will just want to churn or return anything. So is this settled science? Other people can argue. It's dangerous to say this stuff is settled science because science is always relooking at stuff. So how much is relooking and how much is continuing to churn and get people fired up, particularly on the autism thing? Backdrop to this. One of the reasons why this is so difficult with some of this stuff is COVID. We just heard Rand Paul. He made a great point about people that should have gotten the vaccine scientifically versus foisting it on kids and young, healthy males, 15 to 19, and myocarditis. But I wouldn't say, because we oppose that, that we ought to jump in and want to relitigate everything that's involved with the vaccine. I'm not in that camp. But I am in the camp of the COVID thing has spoiled and opened up the door to all this because it was wrong. Fauci and these others up and down the line. We had a big study back yesterday, how bad America's kids, you know, that's my other passion, school, where I came from, used in that a lot. How bad it is. And it's not getting any better. There's no urgency. Schools were closed way too long, and the lower income people have suffered the most. And they're not going to recoup that unless there's a massive effort to do something about it. And America's schools are not. All that money spent. So that's why this is an exciting issue. And you can imagine someone whose son is in that situation, emotionally churning as this is going on. But it was a fair point that Democrats, particularly Warren, Bernie Sanders, a whole array of them, were just hammering a guy they fundamentally agree with, it seems, most of the time before they lionized him, now because it's involved with Trump. So 855-839-1210, this idea of relitigating stuff, I think it's silly to say, well, you know, what's the harm? There are things that are settled. That'd be an extra debate. Is it settled or not? Is it a distraction? Are we going back to the autism thing again because of COVID? COVID was a nightmare of what's happened here. And it's undermined confidence, rightfully so, on that part of it. All right. So that's pretty emotional stuff when you carry a child and it ends up like this. I get it. And you, if you're human, you want to think, did I do this, that, or the other? What could I have done to avoid this? But I don't like Jenny McCarthy, Dan, I'll tell you. You know, and people can, I think Jenny McCarthy was allowed to get away with ridiculous stuff. I know she suffered. I think she has a child with autism. But that doesn't mean Oprah and Larry King and all these other people should have put her on saying, yeah, it was just due to vaccine. The emotionality of this, supposed to be science on this. And you have people with human situations like this senator, where I would be revved up too. But we have to take a look at what this guy brings to the table. And what he brings to the table is what America wants, at least on the food side, big time. That's the lane here. Now, and can the other be reined in? Well, that's Trump's job. 855-839-1210, you get on board. Hit us on the side question also here. Let me go to Fred in West Brandywine. Fred, thank you for the wait. Go right ahead.
Dom, thank you so much for answering or getting my call on. Dom, I was more interested in the airplane crash today.
Sure. Go right ahead.
I listened to the president and I was upset because I think Congress is very tight. Only two people between Congress and Democrats taking over the congressional caucus, the congressional leadership. And I think a report cut on Donald Trump is going to be 2026. And I want him to win and win strong so he can continue
right to
carry out what he wanted to do. But today's speech about the aircraft incident, it was almost as bad as Bo and Joe. It wasn't bereavement. It should have concentrated on bereavement. And I was upset. And I just wanted to pass that on.
I agree with you. There is part of me, Fred, though, and maybe this was not even 24 hours, that says when something is fresh like this, you have to understand the politics of the people. What I would have advised to do, bereavement, and then I would have pointed out what the left was doing here, blaming him because he put out a memo about quality standards here. But he lost the thread when he started suggesting this air traffic controller was off on this. I don't think that's true. I don't see evidence of that.
It's just that he indicates, you know, he just was such a great contrast between Joe Biden and the successor that he won the public. He won overwhelmingly, right, except for Congress, the House of Representatives. And he needs that strength and he needs to go forward there. And anything detracting, that just upset me. I'm sorry I'm detracting from the Robert F. Kennedy.
No. Fred, listen, I'm so glad. Look, it's a free forum on this stuff. And what you called in, what you said is, I think that's where a lot of Trump supporters are. They think that the DEI is a cancer, but that moment launching into it. And the other thing is, when you go free form with that, people are thinking, my God, don't we know that people are dead? It's not fully the moment. Less is more with it.
Well, I digress a little bit, but on DEI, remember how the Soviet ships had a communist political officer on board who second-guessed the captain,
yes,
of the ship?
Yep.
That's what I consider DEI, to be the communist political guy,
right,
dictating what the captain can do with the ship. Hey, I'm going to shut down and thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Much.
Thank you. Dan, there was an oxymoron there. Less is more. One of the favorite statements, though. It's an oxymoron, but there is some truth to that, right?
Yeah.
All right. We are looking for, I see some good ones here. Your all-time oxymoron coming off that malicious compliance of the military this week. All right. So that was emotional testimony from that senator. And I didn't hear the response from RFK Jr. on it. But 855-83, but there is a partisan part to this. Warren, some of these others, they were always supportive of RFK Jr. He's their guy. Why suddenly is he off the mark? They didn't castigate him in this manner before. It's mixed into the Trump thing. Will some Democrats vote for him? I don't think so. 855-839-1210. You get on board. All right, Dom Giordano show. I haven't seen a day with so much stuff that's top line. The president this morning, the crash as we get more details, and then three hearings going on that have been... the RFK Jr. is still probably the most intense, though. And the most
you want to hear some fireworks that were flown?
Yes. Is this the Gabbard or?
No, this is Sanders. Bernie Sanders versus RFK.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear.
About, 20 minutes ago. Take a listen.
I'm going to make America healthier than other countries in the world right now.
Will you guarantee do what every other major country does? That's a simple question.
And by the way, Bernie, the problem of corruption is not just in the federal agencies. It's in Congress, too. Almost all the members of this panel are accepting, including yourself, are accepting millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical industry.
No.
Protecting their interests.
Oh, I thought that would come. No. I ran for president like you. I got millions of contributions. They did not come from the executives, not one nickel of PAC money from the pharmaceutical industry. They came from workers.
In 2020, you were the single largest
because I had
pharmaceutical
contributions
money
from workers all over this country. Workers.
You were the
not a nickel from corporate PACs.
You were the single largest acceptor of pharmaceutical dollars.
No, from workers in
1.5 million.
Yeah, out of 200 million. All right. But.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You know why this is good, though? Because these are turning on the devils in the details here. Who's right, et cetera. And that's how we try to intervene and give you the picture on that. I take Bernie Sanders' point. I don't know that he took money from Big Pharma, per se. I want to see the evidence on that. But It was a great pushback, I got to say. It was a stunning pushback on Bernie on that one. Yeah.
I like how Bernie really wanted to hammer down that they're contributions. They're contributions. They're not anything else.
Well, they depend who they're from. I mean, are they able to break out that these are workers in the pharmaceutical industry versus the people that actually, I don't know that he can do that.
Shifty Schiff got into it with Cash Patel, if you want to hear that.
Oh, the pencil necker.
Tell me, Mr. Patel, what due diligence did you do to find out who was in the choir before you promoted their beautiful music? These people assaulted law enforcement. What due diligence did you do?
Senator, I didn't record it myself.
So you did no due diligence before you promoted this song by these violent felons. Is that what you're telling us?
Senator, I did not record that myself.
So you're being considered for director of the FBI. And here you did no diligence to find out whether people you were associating with, now the President of the United States in song, were convicted of attacking police officers. Is that who we want running the FBI? I want you to turn around. There are Capitol police officers behind you. They're guarding us. Take a look at them right now. Turn around.
I'm looking at you. You're talking to me.
No, look at them. I want you to look at them if you can, if you have the courage to look them in the eye, Mr. Patel, and tell them you're proud of what you did. Tell them you're proud that you raised money off of people that assaulted their colleagues, that pepper sprayed them, that beat them with poles. Tell them you're proud of what you did, Mr. Patel. They're right there. They're guarding you today. Tell them how proud you are.
That's an abject lie, and you know it. I've never, ever accepted violence against law enforcement. I've worked with these men and women,
you
as you know,
you my entire life. In song,
and I did not make
Patel.
A single dime out of it.
In song.
All right, well, there we go. Thank you, Dan. Wow. I don't remember a more intense day. Patel was very good today. I think he's going to make it. The Gabbard, it depends on whether it is in person or in private. All right, I'm trying to follow the Henry with Robert. Okay, now or no? It's a better.
He wanted to go last.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll do that. Paul in Deptford on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Paul, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Regarding what Mary Holland had said,
yes,
about Elizabeth Warren. If Elizabeth Warren was so against Kennedy suing pharmaceuticals, it just proves that Kennedy is not in the pharmaceuticals' pocket. That, you know, he's going to have a more contentious relationship with them, which is probably what we need in order for science to be true science that we believe in, or we keep arguing and keep finding the truth and, you know, always going forward, finding something better. He is
going to have the most contentious relationship. Yeah, I thought it was, it just showed you how far they'll go. They're trying to take away something that's obvious. He is an adversary of Big Pharma. Yeah, there's no doubt. Premier adversary of them. All right, what's your answer to the side, Paul?
The tax code. It may not be written in the tax code, but it is voluntary compliance. Like, you can't volunteer something and can't comply with it.
You know who I feel talking to me when you said that? I can hear Irv Homer on my shoulder, one of the all-time greats of talk radio. He must have said that 5,000 times, Dan. And at WWDB, they backed him. The IRS came out, sat in the conference room for a month going through the books of WWDB because of Irv Homer. Can you imagine that pressure right down the hall? Oh, my God. Actually sitting there, and you see papers being flipped back and forth. Voluntary compliance. That's going to be a little hard to beat. All right. It is the lightning round here. And Joe has a little critique we'll get to on our ball spinning. All right, Joe.
Whoa.
We'll see more of this at Mulligan's from Joe of Columbus here. We'll have a lot of critiques. Yeah. Henry was good.
Joe's got a history of spinning balls in the fingers. He was calling me on the phone.
I know.
Oh, all right. Book him. That's the first booking for Mulligan's in June.
Was he a former Globetrotter or something?
Yeah.
I mean, the neighborhood he grew up in, it sounds like they're all Globetrotters. But
remember, we used to have Washington General call in occasionally.
Red Klotz is the guy I referenced today, the two-hand set shot.
So you don't know who'd call in?
No, it was a different guy. I played him down in Margate then, and I liked it because it was the old-fashioned game, no fouls. You know what I mean? It's just all, you got to be able to take it. All right.
One more cut that's going to go viral. Amy Klobuchar versus Chairman Grassley. And
yeah, let's hear it.
And I will have you reminded that I have been endorsed by over 300,000 law enforcement officers to become the next director of the FBI. Let's ask them.
Mr. Chairman, I am quoting his own words from September of 2024. It is his own words. It is not some conspiracy. It is what Mr. Patel actually said himself. Facts matter.
You forget that you had 3 minutes in the next round to say what you just said.
Okay, I'll say them again.
Okay.
Grassley's a 90-year-old who does 100 push-ups in front of them. Klobuchar, let's check today. Did we see it on TV? Are her legs shaved?
Can't see him today, Dom.
Henry, as a producer, that's one job you never have to do. No leg shaving.
Henry,
here.
Get down to Washington and check Amy Klobuchar's hair.
Yeah, check them out. See if she's eating her salad with a comb. She did that one time, too.
A comb?
A comb, yeah. They didn't provide a fork. She took out a comb and ate it. Oh, yeah. She ran for president, too. Is this a great country or what? Dom Giordano Show, Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
I'm glad we got that in here today. Old Chuckie Schumer. By the way, the difference with Sean Duffy, head of the Transportation Department, and, Mayor Pete, when things like this happen, it should be obvious today. Side question, hit us with that all-time oxymoron.
I thought that would come. No.
Let's go to Joe in Exton. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Yes, hello, Dom. Good afternoon. My oxymoron involves the disclaimer of turning water into wine. In other words, making the best of a difficult situation. Mary and her son Jesus were at a wedding gathering when the host runs out of wine. Mary then turns to Jesus and asks him, could he do anything to remedy the situation? Jesus undertakes to turn water into wine, thus making the best of a difficult situation.
Thank you, Joe. I thought it was turning lemons into lemonade, but okay. That was a little bit more grandiose than my lemonade.
Oh, it's Joe of Exton. What do you expect?
That's the right on brand, as always. Joe in Columbus, who's always on brand, that Dallas Cowboy brand. All right, Joe, good afternoon. What's your critique on our ball spinning today, so to speak?
First of all, if I could talk for a minute, Rand Paul, if he didn't diffuse people's impression of the medical community, nobody can.
Yeah.
Because he tried to tell everybody this is not a one-size-fits-all. You better get it in your heads. I thought it was beautiful.
It is. And look, this was meaty stuff today. I mean, you don't get sound like this from these hearings every day. It was incredible, right. Bad and good. So, Joe, how do we do on the ball spinning?
Tell us about your balls, Joe.
Well, Doc, you have to understand, I grew up with the guy who was the focal point of the Boston College point shaving scandal. He came from Trenton, the point guard of Boston College. The guy was the best athlete I've ever – he was like a 16 letterman in high school. What I saw today was pretty darn ugly. And my side question is pretty ugly.
Gotcha, Joe. All right. Well, if you out at Mulligan's this year, we're going to be doing some ball spinning, so to speak.
Well, yes. I grew up with the Pete Maravich commercials. Remember the old dry control Vitalis?
Yes.
He used to spit that ball everywhere. We had to learn how to do that.
All right, Joe. We're going to see you and do that. Robert, we got to get Robert in for 30 seconds here. All right, Robert, what's yours today?
Hey, Dom, Dan, short story, 20 seconds tops. I was wanting to date this lady a couple years ago, and her friend said I shouldn't ask because she thought I was pretty ugly. But I had talked to the girl before, and I thought that it was a definite possibility. So I asked her out, and she didn't answer at first, and it was getting awkward. You could say that the silence was deafening. But she agreed to go out with me, and we went out to a restaurant, and they had an all-you-can-eat. So we enjoyed a lot of jumbo shrimp, and we really had a great night, okay? But in the end, it wasn't a match. So I guess you could say that the whole experience was bittersweet.
Oh, beautifully put together. That's a great one. I got to tell you, though, I love the voluntary compliance. I got to go with that one today.
Malicious compliance?
Voluntary compliance.
Oh, voluntary compliance.
Yeah, voluntary compliance. But the IRS.
Oh, yes.
You voluntarily comply. They say that. It's a voluntary compliance. But if I don't comply, what happens? You go to jail.
Yeah.
All right. Rich Cioli takes you next for 4 Big Hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Tom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.